mysterious syndrome is ravaging starfish along the West Coast, leading to massive die-offs. No one knows what's behind the disease, which causes living sea stars to essentially dissolve, and in some particularly grisly cases, arms have been documented to crawl away from the body of the invertebrate, disemboweling it. Dr. Benjamin Miner, a professor of biology at Western Washington University, has been studying the problem, and I'm very pleased to welcome him to our program today. Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm okay. We also, by the way, have a rather unpleasant video of this happening to starfish, and we've provided a link to that. It's a time-lapse video on our show page at WNYC.org. It's time-lapse. How long does it normally take?
Well, for the individuals to pull themselves apart, that can just be a matter of minutes that you can observe that. I think the video you're referring to is probably from the Vancouver Aquarium, where they did a time-lapse over about seven hours. And you can see the individual, the arms separating from the body and then them crawling around as the individual loses more and more arms. The total duration of the time, it appears to be probably about a week and a half from the first time individuals seem to be exposed to something that might be causing the disease to the time where the individuals kind of dissolve, fall apart, and finally die.
Well, in some cases, invertebrates can parts can break off and then they take on life of their own. But that doesn't happen with starfish?
It does. So they're able to lose arms and regenerate those arms. In this case, though, the loss of arms at the end is at such a late stage, the individual is so unhealthy, so sick at that point, that that it's just kind of the final stage right before the individual passes away.
Do we know about their nervous systems? Would this be painful for the starfish?
Well, they have kind of a diffuse nervous system, so they obviously don't have a head. They crawl in different directions depending on the chemical and other inputs from the external environment. And so there's no kind of centralized nervous system. They certainly will experience touch. You know, if you poke at them, they can detect that, and they will change their direction. As far as the amount of pain, that's probably fairly hard to assess whether they're experiencing pain per se like we do.
Have you seen this in a tank?
Certainly, yes. So we collect individuals for the experiments that we do, and one particular species that seems susceptible, oftentimes when we bring sick individuals in within a matter of a couple hours or at least a couple days, they normally start losing arms and falling apart.
And where are the starfish that are affected living?
So all starfish live in oceans, so they have to have salt water to survive. And we can collect them in the intertidal, so when the tide goes out, we can walk out and pick up individuals. But most of the time we collect them with scuba.
But mostly in the Pacific, are there any of the Atlantic starfish also being affected?
So the recent case of wasting syndrome that has been reported has just been along the west coast of the United States. In the past, there has been reports of what appears to be something very similar and possibly the same thing that has occurred on the east coast, in the northeast of the United States. And then there have been some other die-offs, one in the late 70s, early 80s, I don't remember the exact year, down in the Gulf of California, and also in Southern California.
What is the scale of the die-off here? Are these sea stars faced with extinction?
No, it's not that drastic, though the thing that has caught, I would say, the public's and also scientists' attention is the fact that we have several different areas separated, you know, by relatively large spans of water where we've had significant die-offs of the population. So where there were, you know, lots and lots of sea stars, you'd have no problem, you know, snorkeling or diving and seeing them. You know, when you go out, it's very difficult to find any individuals at all at those sites. And we've seen those die-offs in the Vancouver area, BC, British Columbia, in the Seattle area in Washington, and then in Monterey in California. and then also down in Santa Barbara. And so there may certainly be die-offs in other locations that we haven't reported, but they have been well documented in those locations.
So if this has happened before, does that mean that there's a chance the population could rebound?
It's likely. Most of the sea stars that are affected, they reproduce by spawning, free spawning. They just essentially exude eggs and sperm into the water, and then fertilization occurs there. And then they normally have a larval form that swims around for several weeks to a month or so, depending on the water temperatures, and then settle back down to the benthic environment. So
now,
certainly it's possible that if you have a die-off in one area and another area survives, that you can have larvae reseeding those populations.
I found watching that video both fascinating and very disturbing, and I was wondering, why do the arms crawl away from the body?
Yeah, so that's something that people are working on. There's a couple hypotheses. One is that they have kind of an escape response, at least in this species, where it's known that there are some chemicals that the starfish can produce that will allow it to kind of separate its arm, kind of like a lizard losing its tail. There's also some evidence that if you cut the radial nerve that kind of runs along the bottom of the arm, which is, interestingly enough, is kind of embedded within the epidermis, but they protect it by kind of wrapping spines around it if they're disturbed. And if that gets severed, you know, experimentally, if you cut that, the arms can tear away also. And so it certainly seems very likely that what's happening is something along with the lines of the physiology or the nervous system is being damaged or modified in some way so that they're pulling apart by this natural defense mechanism.
And nobody as yet has ascertained what might be causing this thing, a parasite, bacteria, virus, climate change, the acidification of the oceans.
Those are all hypotheses that people are working on. The amount of evidence that's required to definitively, argue that something is causing it is quite substantial. And so, for this event, people have just been working on it for a couple of months. And certainly all the initial information that we have is preliminary at this time.
Do you have any theories?
Well, certainly the interesting observations of kind of where the major die-offs have occurred are separated by relatively large scales. And the patterns that we've seen out of Seattle, for example, we've been documented moving northward out of Seattle. So, you know, maybe a site 30 miles, 40 miles from the previous site every couple weeks, about a month after we see that other site affected, we'll see this new site. So it's kind of slowly progressing northward, which is much faster than individuals can move, but certainly suggests that there's something in the water that might be spreading. The other thing that they've seen is that individuals in aquaria have died, so the Vancouver Aquarium, Seattle Aquarium, a bunch of marine labs, aquariums that have drawn water in from the external environment have had individuals die in their tanks, but not all the tanks. And some of the tanks that are have filtration where they'll sterilize the water with UV light or pressurized sand filters, the stars have survived in those tanks. And so it looks as if whatever it is can be modified by those filtration methods and allow for the individuals not to get sick.
How important are starfish to the ocean ecosystem?
Well, in some cases, they certainly can have an impact on what those communities look like and how they function. And so they're important players within those communities. They're oftentimes, their relative biomass can be very high, and so they can have a strong impact just through their sheer numbers. Most of them are predators, and so they're eating other things. And so obviously, if you remove them from the system, their prey are likely to do much better, and so it can have cascading effects.
Because they're cleaning up the ocean floors?
Yeah, so, you know, if you have certain sites where there's lots of bivalves for around and you have sea stars, you know, moving through the sand, collecting, you know, those individuals up, and you remove them from there, well, you have you now no longer have something, you know, perturbing the sediments like you did before. That can allow stuff to grow on the sediments that couldn't before. Those bivalves, obviously, that were previously being eaten are not being eaten, so they may be filtering more of the water, pulling out, you know, plankton that may be, you know, organisms that were going to settle within those communities, or maybe even harmful algal blooms. So, you know, so there's a variety of both positive and negative benefits that you could attribute to removing sea stars from the communities.
We have very little time left, but I was wondering whether this is affecting any other invertebrates, or is it only sea stars?
At this point, there's only evidence that it's sea stars. But the interesting thing about it is that it's quite a few species of sea stars, and that's not common in most marine diseases to see. At least within the group of sea stars, there's fairly unrelated individuals that appear to be, you know, suffering from the disease. And so so that's a very interesting aspect of, you know, why it's affecting, you know, so many species.
Dr. Benjamin Miner is a professor of biology at Western Washington University. Thank you so much for being on our show today.
Well, thank you so much.